Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and coming up in just a few minutes on episode 37, we'll look at one of Canada's hidden treasures, a whiskey most Canadians never give a second glance to.
Calgary is just a fantastic place to, you got the Rocky Mountains completely visible from the city, even though they're just an hour away. That's something you just sort of, a day when you go home and you had a bad day and you see the mountains, you just makes you feel good.
More from Jim Rogerson, the master distiller behind Alberta Premium, in just a few minutes. First, though, let's check the news. Scotch whiskey makers have won a battle in the Indian court system. A ruling there now bars local whiskey makers from using the word Scotch or its derivatives on their labels. Of course, the whole debate over tariffs on Scotch imports continues. The short list of finalists for this year's Glenfiddich Food and Drink Awards has been released. Michael Jackson was honored for his book, Whiskey, the Definitive World Guide, in the Best Drinks Book category. And Whiskey Magazine's Dave Broom is a finalist in the Best Drink or Bar Writer category. The winners will be announced May 15th in London. One book that will be eligible for next year's competition has just been released. Dr. David Wishart has just published the second edition of Whiskey Classified. The new edition adds a number of smaller distilleries to Dr. Wishart's unique way of classifying whiskies.
I've studied over 1,000 tasting notes and extracted from them all the salient adjectives that are used to describe the flavor of single malt whiskies. And I reduced that collection of about 400, 500 words down to a flavor profile of 12 cardinal flavors. These flavors are rated on a 5-point scale according to their intensity in each whiskey. Flavors like sweetness, smoky, medicinal, tobacco, honey, nutty, malty, fruity, floral, winey notes. These are some of the cardinal flavors that I've measured and assessed for each of the whiskies, and I've done it for all the principal malt whiskies of Scotland.
Dr. Wishart was installed as a keeper of the Quake earlier this week in ceremonies at Blair Castle. There's a big change at the Dalmore. Drew Snyder is retiring as master distiller after 40 years at the Highland Distillery. Here's Dalmore brand ambassador Simon Brooking.
It's a little bit of a sad time. I mean, 40 years he's been at the distillery, but it's also something to be very proud of. A man who's been making Dalmore for 40 years. You don't see that very much in any kind of industry anymore. People staying on for that long, and so I tip my hat to him. He's a great guy, and really, you get a chance to meet Drew. You really understand the character, the essence of the Dalmore.
Snyder is leaving at the end of April. The first Saturday in May means one thing in Kentucky. It's Derby Day, and the mint julep is a Kentucky Derby tradition. If it's made badly, the mint julep can be one of the most god-awful cocktails ever made. But master distiller Chris Morris of Woodford Reserve has the secret to the perfect mint julep.
Well, the secret to making a mint julep is, as in any culinary art or cocktail art, is to use the best ingredients. And you do want to use a very robust bourbon. That's a downfall. And if you use a weak whiskey, it's not going to hold up in the cocktail. So we, of course, will use Woodford Reserve. We use minimal sugar and minimal mint because they tend to dominate a mint julep. And making it fresh, one at a time, is key. None of this big batch type of process. So we make our mint julep for Woodford Reserve, teaspoon of sugar, 3 or 4 mint leaves, muddled with Woodford, no spring water, plenty of shaved ice, 2 to 3 ounces of Woodford, and a small bouquet of mint near the sipping straw, and that's all you need.
And that's the key to a good one.
That's the key to a good one. Make it fresh, and then drink it within the hour. Don't let it melt on you.
Chris will be serving up a special version of his recipe at the Kentucky Derby. His $1,000 version includes mint from Morocco, South Pacific sugar, and water from the Arctic, and is served in a gold-plated cup. Only 50 drinks will be sold, and the proceeds go to benefit a charity that cares for retired racehorses. It's a cause that's close to the folks at Woodford Reserve.
We have our own stables now. We have 3 thoroughbreds that are Woodford Reserve owned and are racing. So we're very, very involved in the thoroughbred industry, and to have the race before the Kentucky Derby named after your brand is just so exciting.
The Woodford Reserve Stakes will be run at Churchill Downs as the final pre-Derby race on the day's schedule. The spring edition of Malt Advocate magazine is out, and publisher John Hansel's cover story focuses on the new developments at Boonehaven.
Here you had a distillery that's been around for 125 years and really hasn't put out anything except for mostly their 12-year-old. And now that they're new ownership, they're coming out with line extensions that are going to be permanent line extensions, 18 and 25. They're great whiskeys, and they're coming out with two separate limited edition whiskeys every year on top of that. So, you know, there's a gentle whiskey. It's often the most overlooked Isla whiskey, but it's a really good quality whiskey, and there's a story to be told there. So I think that was one of the big ones is there. You know, we have Jim Murray talking about how to taste whiskey and different types of whiskey. I think that's something we can all learn from. You know, and, just a lot of good stories all the way throughout.
On the next episode, John will help us answer a listener's question with some tips for running your own whiskey tasting for friends. You've probably never heard of Alberta Premium. It's sold only in Canada and produced at Alberta Distillers in Calgary from 100% Canadian rye. Jim Rogerson is the master distiller behind Alberta Premium, which was named the best Canadian whiskey of the year in Jim Murray's 2006 Whiskey Bible.
It was not surprised because Jim had toured the plant before, and he gave us an excellent rating before in that. So for me, it wasn't a big surprise because Jim always liked this whiskey at all. But it was very stimulating, and a lot of pride was shown by the people that actually make it, from the operators that do the milling, mashing, and fermenting, yeasting, distilling, etc., to the warehouse people who put it away in barrels and let it sit there for 5+ years, and then our bottling people who actually see the finished product going down the line, so plus the management staff. So there's a lot of pride in that.
In fact, Jim Murray says too many Canadians ignore this national treasure.
I have poured this stuff in Canada. At tastings. And again, it's one of those whiskies that's been around forever. No one who regards themselves as a connoisseur takes it seriously. No one's got a bottle. For God's sake, half of it comes, well, half, maybe a third of it or so, is sold in plastic. That's how cheap it is. That is how common it is. And so, connoisseurs tend not to drink it. They immediately think that it is way below them. It's too cheap. It's ubiquitous, and it just has no style. And then I pour it at a tasting, and the eyes open, the mouths open, and when I explain to them what it is, the look of astonishment on their face is worth doing this job alone. I'm hoping I've got the Canadians falling back in love with their own whiskey, because last year was the first year ever that Canadian whiskey was actually put into second place as their nation's drink. Vodka took over, which is calamitous as far as I'm concerned. And if Canadians can actually wake up to this astonishing stuff that they've got on their own doorstep, I'll be very happy with that.
Alberta Distillers is part of the Beam Global family, and the award is bringing renewed interest from Canadians.
We spread the 100% rye grain story before, but not really going over that well with the consumer. But when you tie that in with Jim Murray's award, it certainly gives it a lot of gusto going to the market, and with the liquor boards too, to get better facings, more shelf space, etc. So it's a big boon for our company. We've seen the sales pick up across Canada because of this.
Alberta Premium is just one of the whiskies coming out of Calgary.
We have other whiskeys, Tangle Ridge, which is a 10-year-old brand. We've got Alberta Springs, which historically, that was the one that used to come in a wooden box, a cedar box. It's only launched then at special interviews back into the box. And we got Windsor Canadian, plus vodkas, Banffy's Vodka and Alberta Vodka. So we got a product line.
Will it be exported? Well, Rogerson admits some interest since the Whiskey Bible Award, but the stocks on hand are just enough to satisfy Canadian sales, A production boost is possible, but exports wouldn't happen for at least 5 years while the spirit ages. That's all for this edition of WhiskeyCast. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry, town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.